my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you
Shabbat Shalom. Let me ask you a question. Who in this room has been forced into a moment when you had to act with courage and with boldness? A good many of you. Probably more than we think. During a visit with family in Georgia, a 12-year-old boy from Ontario was snorkeling in one of the many rivers in the state when he was bitten on the head by an alligator. Seeing what was happening, the boy's mother reached out and yanked her son from the mouth of the 11-foot alligator, thereby saving his life. I wonder how you or I, faced with the same situation, may have reacted. It is in times like these we come to an understanding of how congruent our perceptions are with the actual qualities we possess. There are those who, in times of emergency, panic and freeze. And there are those who somehow receive the courage and ability to do what is seemingly impossible. However, in the normal course of life events, if something seems too difficult for many of us, or when we are confronted with what seems impossible, how do we respond? In this week's message, Jehovah has asked me to focus on the God-given qualities of courage and boldness in the face of the difficult and the impossible challenge. Abba Father, Almighty God, the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, I pray that you enable us to be attentive to your word this morning, and that we integrate your message to us into our hearts and into our daily lives. In your beloved name, I pray. There are many examples within Scripture of those who were courageous during times of emergency. Rav Shaul, certainly no stranger to difficult times, shares with us in Philippians 4, "Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then God's shalom, passing all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind safe in the union with Messiah Yeshua." We might have difficulty accepting these words from just anyone, but Rav Shaul is not just anyone. Remember, he was blinded when he met Adonai Yeshua on the road to Damascus and carried, I believe, partial blindness as his thorn to remind him Jehovah's strength was sufficient for him. During his all too few years of ministry, he suffered shipwreck off the coast of Malta, as we read in Acts 27. He was imprisoned both in Jerusalem and in Rome. It was no wonder Rav Shaul wrote to his fellowship in the region of Philippi to be bold and courageous in the face of conflict and turmoil. Listen to what he writes in Philippians 1. "My being in prison has given most of the brothers in the Lord confidence, so that they have become much more bold in speaking the word of God fearlessly. All that matters is that in every way, whether honestly or in pretense, the Messiah is being proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." If anyone had the right to feel discouraged and depressed, it was Rav Shaul. However, he did not. Rather, he spoke boldly and with confidence, urging his brothers and sisters to stay the course and be bold in the service of Jehovah. We see this degree of boldness and courageous action in the Hebrew Scriptures also. Avraham took his small army of 318 and attacked those who had taken Lot and his family from Sodom. Could he have done this on his own? Although Jehovah is not mentioned in this episode, we know Avraham could not have done this on his own. The army he pursued outnumbered his meager force of 318 souls. Imagine with me, please, how Avraham and his men crept up to the encampment, waiting until late at night when Jehovah caused a chilling confusion to overtake the enemy camp. Then the small force rushed into the camp, rescuing Lot and his family, without losing one of their number. Fanciful, perhaps, probable, highly likely. During Passover, I had an opportunity to watch the ancient movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. Oh, what a magnificent Moses he made. However, the point I want to make here is Jehovah's question posed to Moshe as the Israelites were poised to cross the Sea of Reeds, but hesitated. We read in this in Exodus 14, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift your staff, reach out with your hand over the sea, and divide it in two. And here it is. We step forward in trust of Jehovah, and he will give us the courage, he will give us the boldness we need to continue the journey. But we must take the first step, indicating we truly trust the ruler of the universe and creator of all life. How often do we hesitate before taking that first step? Are we afraid our own strength will fail us just when we need it? Are we afraid Jehovah's promises are not to be trusted? And how can we forget Joshua, who took on a monumental task of leading the more than 3 million Israelites, Jew and non-Jew, into the promised land to take what Jehovah had promised? Listen to the affirmation Jehovah gave his new leader, as we read in Joshua 1. Be strong, be bold, for you will cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers I would give them. Only be strong and very bold in taking care to follow all the Torah, which Moshe, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from it either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Once more, we see the confidence of Jehovah embedded within his command, if Yehoshua would only follow his path. And then we read in verse 9, haven't I ordered you? Be strong, be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted, because Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. Perhaps Jehovah saw the hesitation in Yehoshua's heart and provided this encouragement, because Adonai, your God, is with you wherever you go. And that is the message he gives us. If we follow his lead and turn neither to the right nor to the left, he will be wherever we go. Beloved, do we hesitate because we are afraid he will abandon us just when the going gets tough? Or we think he really doesn't mean what he promises? I urge all of us to look deeply into our hearts and examine the state of our trust in the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls, Abba B'Shamayim. And then we have Gideon. You know him as the timid mouse who hid from the Midianites, treading grain in a wine barrel so as not to be seen, and therefore harassed by the invaders of the northern tribes of the Israelites. Try to imagine Gideon's reaction when Adonai Yeshua, the angel of Adonai, approached him, as we read in Judges 6. His first words to our hero were, "You valiant hero, Jehovah is with you." Although Gideon felt inadequate for the role Jehovah had for him, he challenged the assertion he was a valiant hero. Listen to his retort. "Excuse me, sir." Can you imagine that? "Excuse me, sir," answered Gideon. "But if Jehovah is with us, then why is all this happening to us? And where are all his miracles our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Didn't Jehovah bring us up from Egypt?' For now Jehovah has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." Adonai Yeshua disregards Gideon's challenge and responds, "Go in this strength of yours and save Yisrael from the hands of Midian. Haven't I sent you?" How often do you and I challenge Jehovah when he gives us a command? Do we not understand within the command he has given us is his confidence and therefore our empowerment to complete his task? Or are we perceiving his speaking to us as a human voice, perhaps our own desires, and discarding it because we don't trust ourselves? As with everything we perceive spiritually, we must test out what the voice says to us in Scripture. For example, if we are told to go into the neighborhood and share his gospel with the many families there, do we question the scriptural soundness of that command? And if it is scripturally sound, does that not come with his empowerment? But you ask, what if it is not his word to put me, but my own desire? Again, we must test everything. Remember, the Sea of Reeds did not split open for the Israelites until they plunged into the waters and were up to their chests before his miracle was performed. If we begin to walk through the neighborhood and share the gospel and no one listens to us, is that an indication to us or is that a test of our resolve to persevere? I raise this issue because we have been called to do just that. And the day is coming when we will begin. I urge you to pray for guidance, for courage, for boldness, as we prepare for that time of stepping out. In Psalm 27, we are told of Jehovah's confidence in us when we take on his tasks as good and righteous servants. Put your hope in Jehovah. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And again in Psalm 31, be strong and fill your hearts with courage, all of you who hope in Jehovah. Yes, put your hope in Jehovah. With encouragement such as this, how can we not trust his support for us when we step out in fulfillment of the tasks he gives us? Each one of Jehovah's prophets faced the same dilemma. They did not feel worthy of being his prophets. They were convinced they could not be an adequate servant for him. For example, Isaiah, listen to his response when Jehovah called him to service. Woe to me! I too am doomed because I, a man with unclean lips, living among a people with unclean lips, have seen with my own eyes the King, Adonai Tzevaot. And how did Jehovah strengthen his servant? We read of this in verses 6 and 7. One of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, here, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is gone. Your sin is atoned for. And his lips were not burned. Your iniquity is gone. Your sin is atoned for. It is quite natural for those who have been called to Jehovah's service to claim inability due to unrepented sin. However, Jehovah's word does not go forth in vain. He would not call us if he also knew we would not repent of our sinful nature and sinful behaviors. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That is not conjecture. That is fact. Did he not tell us, as he shared with Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I separated you for myself. Our personal redemption lies in the sacrifice made by Adonai Tzevaot almost 2,000 years ago. We may not believe the personal sign of redemption, as did Isaiah or Jeremiah, but nonetheless, we have been redeemed, or we would not have been called. Courage takes many forms, but has the same result: strength, security, and certainty. One of my favorite authors, Max Lucado, has created a powerful message regarding courage. I'd like to share part of that message with you today. He writes, many people tackle their anxieties by taking on the appearance of a lion. We face our fears with force. Military power, security systems, defense strategies, all reflect a conviction that muscle creates security. And if not through physical might, we might seek security other ways, like financial or political power or status. But do these approaches work? He asks, can power, possessions, or popularity really deliver us from our fears? If power could, then Joseph Stalin should have been fearless. Instead, the infamous Russian premier was afraid to go to bed. In order to foil any would-be assassins, he slept in a different room every night. If possessions conquered fear, the late billionaire Howard Hughes would have been fearless. But his distrust of people and his paranoia of germs led this billionaire to Mexico, where he died a lonely death as a cadaverous hermit with a belly-length beard and corkscrew fingernails. Beatle John Lennon's fame as a singer, songwriter, and pop icon made him a household word, but his fears brought him misery. His biographers describe him as a frightened man, unwilling to sleep with the lights off, and afraid to touch anything because of its filth. The Apostle Yochanan has approached this issue also and is very clear, as we read in 1 John 4, verse 18. Because fear has to do with punishment, the person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love. Isn't this comment interesting? I've not made the connection before to fear and punishment, but Tim Westman has. Tim is the author of Jack Bauer's Having a Hard Day. For those of you who have no idea who Jack Bauer is, he's a fictional character played by Kiefer Sutherland in the television series 24. In his writing on this character, Jack Bauer, Westman writes, fear and love are diametrically opposed. However, fear is associated with the threat of punishment. Withdrawal of love, rejection, physical threat, and so on. Obviously then, where fear exists, love cannot. And where love exists, fear cannot. So let's bring this message home. What do we know about courage? Prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures tell us courage comes only from Jehovah. And if we wish to serve him, we must approach the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls with humility and the expectation of surrendering our will to his. We must step out in trust of him before he will give us what we need to continue the journey. As an ancient Chinese proverb by the philosopher Lao Tzu tells us, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. However, that step is the hardest, since it must be made in faith. The writers of the Apostolic Scriptures teach us there really isn't anything to fear, because Jehovah has everything under control and has promised to care for and shelter us even at the point of death. If we but trust him and love him. But when there is fear, there can be no love. When there is fear, there can be no trust. And when there is fear, there cannot be Jehovah in our lives. It's as simple as that, beloved. Jehovah is love, and he may be replaced in our lives by fear. What this tells me, fear is an idol we worship. Think about it. When we have fear in our hearts, our attention is on feeding that idol. In other words, we make sacrifices at the altar of fear rather than to Jehovah. We turn over our will to the idol of fear rather than to Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. But how do we turn from worshiping fear to trusting Jehovah? Remember, habits are harder to break than to create. Fearing is a habit, fed by the negative thoughts constantly cycling through our subconscious minds. Our fears of rejection are associated to moments of our younger lives when we have been rejected by those whom we loved. Our fears of physical pain are associated with moments when we have been punished as children by those whom we both loved and feared. But our beloved Abba has given us a way to bring those moments to the foreground, enabling us to deal with them, exposing them to the brilliance of Jehovah's love, and asking him to replace them with his truth. We can do this alone, or we can do this with help. It matters not, only that we are focused on the end product, replacing our fear with his love. If you harbor fear in your heart, I ask you to pray the following with me. Beloved Abba, I have fear in my heart, and I ask you to remove it from me. I entreat you to examine me, Elohim Tzevaot, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is in me any hurtful way, and lead me along the eternal way. Bring to my conscious mind the lies of fear which are preventing me from trusting you completely, and help me in examining and dealing with these. Provide me with what will assist me in this walk of healing, and help me take the first step in this journey to complete freedom in you. In your beloved name I pray. Amen.
And though these are days of great trial,